Well, Netflix released its second season of Marvel's Jessica Jones this week. Critics praised the first season for its frank depiction of sexual abuse and post-traumatic stress. And all the episodes in the second season are directed by women. Joining us to talk about this unique superhero show is NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Hi, Eric.
Hey.
And you've called Jessica Jones the best superhero series on the air right now. For people who haven't seen it, remind us who this character is and how the second season stacks up.
Yeah, Jessica is an interesting character. So she is a super-powered woman, super strong, can leap great distances. She apparently tried being a typical put-on-a-costume-and-save-people kind of superhero and realized that wasn't her thing. So she's a private investigator now. And last season, we saw her actually kill the main villain that she was up against, this guy named Kilgrave, who could control minds. And now, as the new series opens, the public found out about this, and they think that she's sort of a vigilante killer. And so she's hired to investigate someone. And when the client finds out that the person that she was investigating is cheating on her, she actually asks Jessica to kill him. And then this conversation happens. Let's check it out.
I'm not a killer.
Oh, Bullpucky, you broke a man's neck. I heard about it on Trish Talk. Some guy does you wrong and you kill him? But now the vigilante hero's gonna judge me?
A hero would have you locked up for soliciting murder. A vigilante would beat the shit out of you. Now, which one am I?
I don't know.
Choose.
Please don't kill me.
I don't kill people because I'm not a murderer.
So this is a question that Jessica will tackle throughout the life of the second season. Is she inherently a murderer or not?
And how does this season handle her struggles with PTSD?
Well, it's interesting. So this villain, Kilgrave, that we saw in the first season, could control people by issuing sort of oral commands. And at some point in Jessica's past, he basically made her become his sexual slave. And then he also compelled her to kill someone. And so she is trying to survive that. She's a rape survivor and she's also an abuse survivor. And so now she's trying to figure out in the second season whether the anger that she's struggling with and the self-destructive tendencies that she's struggling with is a result of this PTSD, or is it something tied to her power? So she speaks to a psychiatrist who's also a hypnotist who tries to get her to relax and think about the time when she first got her powers so they can maybe figure this out. And we have a clip of that, too.
I don't have a safe place.
Patients often choose a stretch of beach.
Yeah, no.
Or their childhood home.
Uh-uh.
All right. Where do you go to relax?
Rudy's, 9th and 45th. Solid pours and they got free hot dogs.
You know, she is resistant, to say the least, to this effort to kind of delve into her psyche. And that's one of the things that makes it tough for her to figure out what's going on. She has this sort of naturally snarky, naturally caustic way of kind of pushing back. It's her coping mechanism, but it's also making it tough for her to figure out what actually happened to her. And what I hear from people who have struggled with PTSD and struggled with trauma, this seems pretty authentic. It feels pretty true to life.
Eric, a lot of people are talking about superheroes right now, not because of what's happening on TV, but what's happening on the big screen. You know, people have seen Black Panther, maybe Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. They're doing very well. I'm not even a big fan of these kinds of things, and I thought that both were fantastic. What do you think makes a good TV superhero as opposed to a movie superhero?
Now, you have asked the right guy, because I am such a comic book geek that I actually had this discussion with a bunch of people on my Twitter feed the other day. But basically, if you look at the dictionary definition of a superhero, it's somebody who has superhuman powers who tries to right wrongs, right? And so that's a pretty wide field in terms of what you're dealing with. I feel like superheroes answer this desire that a lot of us have to have somebody cut through all the nonsense in life, use sort of extraordinary powers to bring justice to a situation. And I think that's the appeal of these movies and these TV shows, to find somebody who can just sort of cut through all the nonsense and just deliver justice very directly.
And of course, we mentioned Black Panther, we mentioned Wonder Woman. Obviously, in one case, we're talking about African characters. In another, we're talking about women. Do you think that Hollywood, both on the big screen and the little screen, are doing a better job in representing people as superheroes?
Yeah, what's interesting is like the comic book industry went through this like 10 or 15 years ago where they realized that their product, because it was so centered on white males, was only appealing to like sort of hardcore comic book fans, sort of 20 and 30 something white males. And they weren't reaching younger people and they weren't reaching women and they weren't reaching people of color. And so the success of Black Panther, the success of Wonder Woman, I think that just highlights the thirst for seeing characters that are different step up in a way that we're seeing women and people of color step up in real life.
It's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, whose superhero alter ego is what, Eric?
Well, you know, supposedly you're supposed to do your pet, and I think the street you lived on, so I'd be Zabu Pierce. Okay. I don't know.
Eric, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
It's Here and Now.